can't win, Darth.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off from about San Antonio with the radio blasting and the bird dog on. There's a beat trap with my head sound of town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger around, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Love to hear the steel bell coming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant, wonder why I don't stop. Well, I gotta keep rocking my life.
Many years ago, Indian youth would go away in solitude to prepare for manhood. One such youth hiked into a beautiful valley. There he fasted, and on the third day decided to test himself against the mountain. Reached the top, he could see forever, and his heart swelled with joy. Then he heard a rustle at his feet, and looking down, saw a snake. Before he could move, the snake spoke. I am about to die. It is too cold for me up here, and I am freezing. There is no food, and I am starving. Put me under your shirt, and take me down to the valley. Oh, no, said the youth. I know your kind. You are a rattlesnake. If I pick you up, you will bite me, and I will die. Not so, said the snake. I will treat you differently. If you do this for me, you will be special. I will not harm you. The youth withstood for a while, but this was a very persuasive snake with beautiful markings. At last, the youth tucked it under his shirt and carried it down to the valley. There he laid it gently on the grass. When suddenly the snake coiled, rattled, and struck, biting him on the leg. But you promised, cried the youth. You knew what I was when you picked me up, said the snake as it slithered away. You will always be warned when danger is near. The Lord cannot make your decisions for you, but he will always allow you to be aware of what is right when a decision or action is about to be made. Don't allow yourself to ever believe that you are different, in that you can participate in unrighteous activities even just once and not be hurt. Remember, You knew what I was when you picked me up.
And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Well, it's not 2 hours, it's 1 hour, because it is. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, 14th of January, 2019. And let me check here real quick and see. They see everything is working here, so let me make sure we got sound, and we'll continue to march. There is Nan just dropped in. And let's see. All right, let's hear it. By a show of hands, who has me 5x5? Thank you, Longslide. All right, let's continue on here. Boy, I've got a lot of stories tonight. I've got some other stuff that I may have to save till Wednesday. I've got a whole bunch of things, so I'm going to kind of do a news blitz here and get rid of some of these things, because I've got some other stuff I want to talk about. But if I get rid of all this stuff, we'll see how it goes. There'll be no shortage of things to talk about, I can tell you that. We have had upwards of right about 30 inches or a little more inches of snow in 2.5 weeks. It snowed again, day before yesterday, I think. Got another 9 inches here. And we're due for 12 to 14 hours of continuous snow next weekend. So we may be seeing... You know, I don't know if you guys know it or not, but if you look it up, 1967 was the last time they had a monumental biblical proportion snowstorm here, pretty much all over the West. It was particularly the Southwest. Tebow, I don't know if Tebow remembers that or not, because I don't know if he was in Farmington when that happened or not. But... That was the year that the government and some private contractors flew hundreds of missions out to the Navajo Reservation and the Hopi Reservation to deliver hay and water and food and stuff, because they were dead in the water. Actually, they were dead in the snow and couldn't get in, couldn't get out. Nobody could get to them. And it was pretty bad. And that was the year, I think I may have told you, that here in Sholo, there was a number of people here. There were a number of people here that opened their door, and there it was. No place to go. Couldn't see any daylight. It was snow to the bottom of the eaves of a lot of houses around here. And, there is, and I know I told you about this, but I'm going to throw it in there anyway. If you go over here to Alpine and look on the far east side of town, over on the right-hand south side of the road a little ways, you'll find a Quonset hut that caved in, believe it or not. And that happened during that 1967 snowstorm. I didn't know that was possible. To cave in a Quonset hut, and not a metal one like that anyway. But and I don't know exactly how they managed that, unless they tried to move all the snow around from the outside of it, hoping the rest would slide off, and took away that support on the edges, and left all the weight on the top of the Quonset hut. I don't know. So, what do we have? I keep seeing something here. Oh, no, there it is. Okay. Never mind. Yeah, Tebow, that may have been the same year. I was, how old was I? Was I 11,
years old, something like that. 67, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, I must have been 11 years old, maybe 12, when that happened. I do remember it. I remember it very well because there were people, snowmobiles and caterpillars and stuff. There was people from Colorado that were, National Guard and private search and rescue groups and all just an amazing show of help, to keep all these Indians and their horses from starving to death, their cows and whatnot. So it's quite a deal. Hopefully we're not on the same on par to do that again this year. But we're not even in the trouble is we're not even in the snow season yet. The snow season happens February and March, and I told you that 2012, what church was canceled because there was, and this was Easter Sunday, that we had 2 feet of snow and church was canceled. That was Easter Sunday of 2012. So we've still got a long ways to go. We've still got at least 3 months before we're going to get out of the snow weather here. So, all right, with all that being said, let's move on into the many things that we have to talk about here. This and how do I get out of this? We'll get out of that and do it like that. This is I've checked, and this is apparently true. This is a disgusting, pathetic story. There was Tide Pods, and there was snorting condoms, and well, it gets worse. Each one of those times, remember how much I talked about that when it happened? And I said, it just can't get any worse. These people have gotten as stupid as they can possibly get. Wrong. It has happened. Apparently, there are some teens getting high by boiling used tampons and then drinking the resulting concoction in order to get high. Drinking. That's what I said, drinking the water or the whatever you call it. That's disgusting. I know it's disgusting. I told you it was going to be disgusting. It's sick. I know. Pathetic. Police all around Indonesia have arrested multiple teens caught using the sanitary devices in order to get high. I have never wanted, there was times where I may have drank somebody else's beer off the table. I may have drank some types of wine or some crap that I didn't like. But I never quite stretched. I didn't ever want to be high that bad. Most of the time, they say, these pads were taken from the trash. So you're not even drinking the stuff from people that you know. But it's not actually the blood and stuff. It's the gel inside the pads and the tampons that gets these people high. They prefer to use unused products when they can, but they grow desperate and have to resort to taking them out of the garbage can. Yeah, that is, and I wonder, who was the first one that said, you know what, let's take two or those, three of those things and boil them and drink it like tea. It's got a string on it and everything already. I know. Who was the first person that said, let's do that? And who was the stupid ass that said, okay, I'm with you. Let's do it. Was it a chemist that knew what was in there? Or did somebody take one of those things apart and say, hey, yeah, we can boil this, and yes, sirree, we can have a party. Well, said one of the teens who admitted to drinking the concoction morning, afternoon, and evening described the liquid as bitter. According to the Indonesian National Drug Agency, drinking the mixture results in feelings of flying and hallucinations. Yeah, no doubt. Indonesia's extremely strict drug laws may have led teens to resort to these strange ways of getting high while avoiding traditionally. See how well the war on drugs works? Thus caught with modest quantities of drugs can find themselves facing the death penalty. So instead of doing that, they're going to boil tampons. Okay, now we've set the stage here for the rest of the show. I hope everybody's having a... Hey, what's for dinner anyway? All right, never mind. Wow. Yeah, Doc, I know it sounds like a BS story, but apparently it is completely true from everything that I can find here. Yeah, I would have thought that the Tide Pod thing was a BS story. I thought the snorting condoms was a BS story, but it has gotten worse. So, I'm not a fan. I told you this year when the Democrats took over that gun control was going to go rampantly out of sight here, and it's getting worse. It's going to be worse than we expected. They have introduced a new assault weapons ban, and they have I'm hoping that it doesn't pass in the form that they've introduced it. If it has, we are so screwed. They have named, I don't remember how many it was, let's see, key provisions bans the sale, manufacture, transfer, and importation of 205 military-style assault weapons by name. Owners may keep existing weapons. Now, that's, if there's any light to this story at all, well, that's it, is you get your weapons that you already have don't fall under this. Bans any assault weapon that accepts a detachable magazine that has one or more military and has one or more military characteristics, including pistol grip, forward grip, barrel shroud, threaded barrel, or a folding or a telescoping stock. Well, that narrows down quite a bit, and they've also, I think there's a provision in here that does not exempt thumbhole stocks like the Mac 90s and some of these other. Remember they had to lock the stocks on, you couldn't get the telescoping stocks on guns during the assault weapons ban. That's going to come back. Owners may keep existing weapons, bans, magazines, and other ammunition more than 10 rounds. Owners can keep existing magazine. Now, the only way this is going to work is that they will probably have to, there's no probabilities, they'll have to serial number magazines as they come out. And there'll have to be some type of disclaimer on it, like there was in 1994, that says military and government use only. Because, let's see, the bill exempts by name more than 2,200 guns. The bill includes a grandfather clause that exempts all weapons lawfully possessed at the time of enactment. That's the only way they would get this, that's one of the ways that they'll get this passed, is everybody goes, oh, good, wow, that was scary. I thought they were going to get my guns. No, they're just going to get everybody else's. Other provision requires a background check on any future sale, trade, or gifting of an assault weapon. Requires that grandfathered assault weapons are stored using secure gun storage or a safety device like a trigger lock. So if you've already got one of these and it's grandfathered in, it has to be locked up. It also prohibits the transfer of high-capacity magazines. That's why they'll have to be serial numbered, because there is no way to know that you borrowed, begged, stole, bought whatever magazines from someone else. So once this goes into effect, if it does, all new high-capacity magazines that go out to, now of course they'll be only be for law enforcement and everything anyway, but they will have to be, how would they even do that? It prohibits the transfer of high-capacity magazines, so all the magazines that I have now will be... There's no way that anybody, unless you run and told, you know, if I sold you two or three of my magazines and you took off down to the cops and said, hey, that guy just sold me these magazines, you get him in trouble. Well, in the first place, you're going to have to prove that I did. So I'm not sure how this is going to work. But anyway, it bans bump fire stocks and other devices that allow semi-automatic weapons to fire at fully automatic rates. The updates, now here's some updates to the weapons ban of 2017. It bans stocks that are otherwise foldable or adjustable in a manner that operates to reduce the length, size, or any dimension, and otherwise enhances the concealability of the firearm. So all of our telescoping stocks, our collapsible stocks on ARs and folding stocks and all that will be permanently locked open. Of course, one that you already have is okay. But don't think that it's not going to cause you a lot of grief every time a cop catches you with one while they prove that you had it when this started. It bans assault pistols that weigh 50 or more ounces when unloaded. This was a policy that was included in the original 1994 ban. It bans assault pistol stabilizing braces that transform assault pistols into assault rifles, by allowing the shooter to shoulder the weapon and fire more accurately. It bans Thordson-style grips and stocks that are designed to evade a ban on assault weapons. So, that's what Ms. Feinstein has come out with. So, there you go. That's what we get. Now, on our second most stupidest story here. Let me look. Yeah, Dan, I think you're probably right. Now, of course, you know, if this passes, or if it even looks like it's going to, when this becomes, I don't doubt that prices are going up as we speak. Because this has been introduced, or is about to be introduced, I'm pretty confident that assault-style rifles, anything that falls in under their definition, will start going down in availability and up in price. Pretty confident that's going to happen. So, anyway... All right, now there's another thing that goes along with this. Where did I see that? Here we go, right here. In Oregon, they're going to make it even worse. Now, of course, you people in Oregon need to get your damn state squared away anyway. Here's just more reason for it. A bill being introduced in Oregon is going to cap magazines at five-round magazines for your AR-15, AK-47, and Glock and everything else. Yeah, how awesome is that? And it's going to ration ammo purchases to 20 rounds a month. So, boy, those all-afternoon shooting sessions, we're sure going to save lots of time to go be on Facebook and stuff. We're going to, you know, go out and shoot 15 rounds so we can keep 1 5-round magazine full for self-defense, and we'll go back and get on Facebook. Yeah, we don't want to waste all afternoon out in the fresh air shooting like 40 rounds or, you know, 1,000 or anything. That's Oregon for you. One more. Here is another thing that's recently happened in Washington, and I do applaud these gun dealers very much. There is a Washington gun dealer. One single dealer started this, and other dealers have since followed suit. But on January 1st, you know, we talked about the new gun laws that went into effect, the Initiative 1639, and some other stuff went into effect in Washington on the 1st. And there is one gun dealer in Washington, Linwood Gun and Ammunition. They're not playing that game. As it turns out, they're also legally correct in doing what they're doing. Initiative 1639 did several things, and one of the probably the most heinous one. Heinous? Is that a good word? Is that, yeah. Anyway, the one that was the least awesomest included raising the minimum age to purchase semi-automatic assault rifles, as they call them, to 21 years of age. Also requires mental health records to be released for a background check and requires proof of completion of a training safety course to purchase such a weapon. The age restriction went into effect January 1st, while the rest of it goes into effect July 1st. So despite the age restriction taking hold at the beginning of the year, Linwood Gun and Ammunition will continue to sell these rifles to persons age 18 to 20. Why? Well, it's coming, it says, Q13, whoever Q13 is coming down for another interview with us. We've discovered something interesting with 1639. We are waiting on an email back from the Washington Attorney General. Under RCW, blah, 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 for July, the term of semi-automatic assault rifle is defined under Section 25 thusly. Semi-automatic assault rifle means any rifle which utilizes a portion of the energy for firing a cartridge to extract the fired cartridge case and chamber the next round, and which requires a separate pull of the trigger to fire each cartridge. Semi-automatic assault rifle does not include antique firearms, any firearm that was made permanently inoperable, or any firearm that is manually operated by bolt, pump, lever, or slide action. Under this statute, a person under 21 years of age may not purchase a pistol or semi-automatic assault rifle, and except as otherwise provided in this chapter, no person shall sell or transfer a semi-automatic assault rifle to a person under 21 years of age. So basically, the term semi-automatic assault rifle isn't defined until July 1st of 2019. That's when it goes into effect. So someone at this gun shop or their lawyer or some smart, clever customer come up and said, hey, what do y'all think about this? And they have pushed it to the edge here, and apparently they are in the right. God bless this gun shop. And then some other ones followed suit right after when they said, okay, well, if they can do it, we're going to do it. Another dealer in Eastern Washington, Talos, I guess that's how you pronounce that, Talos Tactical, LLC, has followed suit, probably more since then. Let's see, today is our first day open with Part 1639 active. I vetted the 18-20-year-old restriction past two trusted local law enforcement departments and got the answer I was hoping for, the part of the law that says we can't sell assault rifles to individuals between 18 and 20 did kick in yesterday. However, the category of assault rifle will not be created in Washington until July 1st. We can't get in legal trouble for selling something that doesn't legally exist. So we at Talos Tactical will continue to sell semi-automatic rifles to law-abiding 18-20-year-olds until July 1st, 2019. So there you go. How awesome is that story? Yeah. Pretty awesome, I think. Okay, let's see here. Let me scoot over here just a minute. And we've got to try to take a little break here real quick. All right, give me a few minutes.
I'll be back.
Stand against the man. Now he rides his coat on an old. what freedom is. It's to stand. Because when you stand, others will stand with you.
Cowboy stand.
No matter how it ends.
After the turn of the century, in the clear blue skies over Germany, came a roar and a thunder men had never heard, like the screaming sound of a big war bird.
The following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDC PASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
Amen, try.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country.
Okay, let's finish this. I got a bunch of stories to do. I got to speed up, quit talking so much here. Actually, some of them are not time sensitive, so we could actually do some of them Wednesday, but. So let's see how many we can get through here. This one is not really, it's not time sensitive. I could do it 4 years from now and it would make just as much sense. This gal in this picture, I wish I could show it to you. It's, well, she's rough. I can tell you that. And she's not very smart either because she showed up at court on drug charges. With a backpack full of drugs. If you're going to charge me, I might as well make it worthwhile. She showed up in court this last Monday on 2 counts of aggravated possession of drugs and 1 count of possession of dangerous drugs with intent to distribute or sell when she brought a backpack full of drugs to the court. Inside this beautiful multicolored backpack was 0.53 grams of meth. And MDMA, whatever that is. 11 blue capsule pills stamped R3060, which appear to be amphetamine and dextroamphetamine, extended release pills. Pipe with residue used to smoke or inhale methamphetamine. Jeez. Along with a paperclip with residue. 11 pills identified as gabapentin. A clear bag with marijuana buds weighing 2.32 grams and a glass pipe with burnt marijuana residue. So if you're going to go to court and get in trouble for doing drugs, you might as well make it worth your while. It would be hardly worth the trip to go and not take this stuff with you to offer evidence that you really were doing what they say you were doing. And I'm sure that's why she did that. Oh, my Lord. For you varmint hunters, and there's more than one place trying to do this, but in New Mexico, along with everything else that's going to hell in New Mexico, the state land commissioner says no more coyote derbies, no more coyote killing contest. This was, you know, a lot of people take this as...
You know, the animal lovers, I get their point, but they don't get our point. They don't understand the benefit, especially in ranching communities, ranching areas, that there are tens of thousands, millions, I guess, of coyotes out there. And coyotes are, Not particularly, rarely dangerous to humans. You know, people, I know a lot of people that are scared of them, but, you know, it's unnecessary, unfounded. But they are very bad for deer populations, and because they are hard on the newborns. Newborn fawns, newborn calves. Calves of elk, calves of cows, and they're just they're pretty and they're neat to watch and they're fun to look at, but they are each and every one a pest. And even if we get out in the wilderness where there's not any cows, they're a pest because of the way that the civilization has expanded and everything. It's pushed these coyotes into areas, and of course it's done two things. It's pushed them into areas where there's a higher concentration than what is normal, what is natural, but it has also made them less scared of mankind, and they come in and they literally roam the streets in some of these quite a few towns, actually, that they come and take house cats and small dogs and kill them, and I think there could be a slim possibility of a pack of them attacking small children. I don't know. But I think you need to watch for more and more of that to be happening. Sure do. I saw a story in Ammo Land here a couple days ago that I want to send. The only reason I want to share this with you, well, two reasons. The story is well-founded to me. It's about 2 years late from what I started talking about this a long time ago. But my classes have changed probably about 4 years ago. This is being in 2019, so it was the end of
2015,
so 3.5 years ago or so, is when I started changing the theme, if you will, of my classes, or the defensive weapons classes anyway. And I've told you this before. It's more of a in defense of liberty now than in defense of home. The home invasions now, and people that you run into out on the street, your typical five-shot revolver may not do it anymore. There was just a story here, a couple of them, last week, where a guy, I believe I even talked about him, where one guy shot four bad guys. Another one shot two, I believe, but it wound up in a kind of a extended gunfight. So what I'm getting at, your Derringer, your .22 revolvers, and your little five-shot .38 revolvers and stuff are just not enough gun anymore. Whether you want to carry a 1911 or an XD or a Glock or whatever it is, carrying that by itself is certainly not enough. And, I have for the last several years, if I go to certain areas, and I always joke and say down on Central and Albuquerque, but it's really not a joke. If I go to those types of places, and I go to Tucson, and I go to Phoenix, I always carry at least two magazines with me, plus the one in the gun. So I have two 15-round magazines and a 13-rounder in the gun, unless I happen to be carrying the full-size gun, then I'll have a 15 in the gun and two other 15, so 45 rounds. And this story says the exact same thing, and the title of the story is The Right to Carry Gun to Fight Terrorism. And so it's not just home invasions and stuff anymore. You live in certain parts of the country, and you are more likely to run into, you're never very likely, but you're more likely to run into multiple assailants, multiple determined, well-armed assailants. And the
person with the five-shot revolver that has no training except a token 30-minute safety class so they can get their concealed carry permit, probably not up to joining in the festivities here. So, and that's, I just wanted to share this this story with you real quick, because this is what I've talked about for a long time. Let me share this a little bit with you here. You know, the anti-self-defense media, you know, they, when we talk to them about concealed carry having a meaningful impact on a terrorist attack, and of course they say, come on, no way. A concealed carrier, you know, a citizen is not going to have, be able to stop a terrorist attack. And that goes along with the same thing as what we see in Quigley Down Under, and we saw it in it was an old Clint Eastwood movie, and several others where they say when a man with a handgun or a man with a revolver comes up against a man with a Winchester, the man with the handgun is going to lose. Well, that's not necessarily the case. We saw a case in Albuquerque quite a few years ago where a guy with a concealed carry, you know, carrying a handgun, managed to drop one guy with an AK. There was three guys with an AK that broke into a didn't break in. They come in and was trying to rob a bunch of customers in a restaurant there. So it's not unlikely. So that type of argument is ridiculous. I have long said, even back during like the theater shooting in Aurora, Colorado, if one guy, just one, with a little determination and a couple extra rounds, would have launched a couple down at the guy that was shooting everybody, that would have disturbed his OODA loop enough that he wouldn't be able to continue what he's doing. All it takes is a little disruption, a little bit of disturbance to let, you know, if you could have done that, maybe he wouldn't have shot at least one person. If you could fire two or three rounds down there and get his attention, that may have brought an end to the shooting and brought his attention to where is that noise, where is that fire coming from? Does it draw his attention to you? Maybe, maybe not. It depends on how dark it is. It depends on how much you have, and anybody that's taken my classes, shoot and move. Don't stand in one place and keep shooting, whether it's dark or not. Yeah, I do very much believe that a person with a handgun, even a small handgun, could have changed the outcome of that shooting immensely. It's when they, you know, there's a meme going around there with a van full of SWAT guys armed to the teeth, and it reads something like, you know, it took 23 men like this to stop the, remember the guy in San Bernardino? The Islam, what do you call ISIS dude, whatever he was. And then the meme says, what makes you think an average citizen with CCW could be successful in that? It misses the point. These people don't know anything about fighting with a handgun. Go on my blog and read the entry in there that says fighting versus shooting with a gun. And it'll help you understand this a little better. So, anyway, you know, gun-free zones, always the venue of choice here for these people. So, something for you to think about there. Do I want this? Why do I even have this up here? I'm just going to delete that. I don't even know how I managed to get that up there. This is not anything that is of massive interest or even remotely related to anything else we've been talking about, but I thought it was interesting. Samsung has come out with a television now, 219-inch TV. It's called The Wall. I have no earthly idea what these things cost. but that seals the deal for the demise of drive-in theaters and just about any other theater. 219-inch TV from Samsung. All right, and let's move along. Okay. This is... I made a Facebook post today,
and it had something to the effect of, everything that's all backwards and going crazy and political correctness gone amok and all that. Well, here is a high school student was accused of making a terrorist threat for allegedly saying, are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? You're not holding any sharp objects? You're not drinking anything? And I want you to spit it in your computer. All right, I'll give you just a second to get squared away here. For allegedly saying that a math symbol resembled a gun. This math symbol, you're familiar with the square root symbol, right? Looks kind of like a check mark with a long tail that goes off to the right, goes up a little ways, and then goes over to the right level. You've seen them. He said it looks like a handgun, and a bunch of his classmates agreed, yeah, it kind of does. And someone called the cops. He said it sounds like a threat. It was taken out of context. Investigators said the student's comment could sound like a threat. When taken out of context, hell, anything could sound like a threat if it was taken out of context. Jeez. Fun. Hey, Copper made it in. Good. It looks like he had a little trouble signing in there. So, let's see where my, there it is. All right, let's move over here. So, that's my, second stupidest story for the day. Yeah, the square root symbol looks like a handgun, and you will forevermore carry this black mark on your police record. You know, the 7-year-old that was quite a few years ago that got in trouble for chewing a Pop-Tart into the shell. Pop-Tart! Kid was 7 years old. Who in the hell... is going, who thinks a 7-year-old with a Pop-Tart's going to do anything? This zero tolerance policy, this crap has got to stop. I can't even believe that. Okay, well, it appears that us Mormons here have become targets. We've known that for a while. It says the FBI has been tracking crimes against Latter-day Saints for the last 3 or 4 years. And reason why is that we are, I think they said number, maybe number 3. Anyway, documented hate crimes against a particular group of people, whether it be Jews, Christians, Muslims, whatever. Well, Mormons have been added to that group, even though many of these, it says Orthodox Christians and a couple of other ones here, they're all Christians. I don't know why they separate them, but anyway, it says these hate crimes against Latter-day Saints make up only a small fraction of offenses. In 2017, the most frequently victimized religious group was Jews with 938 anti-Jewish incidents. The second most targeted group was Muslims with 273 incidents. While there were fewer anti-Islamic incidents in 2017 than 2016, hate crimes against both groups have increased significantly in past years. Most notably, anti-Jewish incidents jumped
about 37% between 2016 and 2017. All right, just letting you know that we're making the headlines there. So a very astute British cop has stepped up their game a little bit. He was, there was a seizure here on, let's see, there's the police agency there, the police department has posted some images on social media on Facebook that showed a blue uniformed constable topped with a little plastic safety helmet and displaying what looks like a replica broadsword. And they said, the agency said, this sword was found during the search of a vehicle earlier today. Thankfully, it's been taken off the streets. So it says comments on Facebook and Twitter, which soared past the 7,000 mark, largely scoffed at the apparent ineffectual nature of the seizure. Here's one that says, I'm bringing four buddies here to overthrow your government. We will be armed with tube socks filled with pennies. Another one says, you're doing God's work, mate. Lost an ancestor to a sword just like that in the 13th century. Another one says, remember when you guys had an empire? Another one says, you dared to disarm a Templar whilst a jihad was happening. And there's, you know, was that a fully automatic assault sword? And so on and so forth. That's what's going on in Great Britain right now. Pretty interesting story here. It's a little late coming around, and this is a little late. Here we go. It has been ruled. Thus saith a California judge that American cops cannot force people to unlock a mobile phone with their face or finger. Ruling goes further to protect people's private lives from government searches than any before and is being hailed as a potentially landmark decision. Well, I am all about this decision. This is okay. Previously, U.S. judges had ruled that police were allowed to force unlock devices like Apple's iPhone with biometrics such as fingerprints, faces, or irises. That was, hold on one second, and we're back. Let's see, where was I? There we go. The order came from the U.S. District Court of the Northern District of California in the denial of a search warrant from an unspecified property in Oakland. The warrant was filed as part of an investigation into a Facebook extortion crime in which a victim was asked to pay up or have an embarrassing video of them publicly released. That's, you know, that's a bad thing about making all these videos with your girlfriend and everything. Sooner or later, they're going to show up on Facebook, I promise you. The cops had some suspects in mind, wanted to raid their property. In doing so, the feds also wanted to open up any phone on the premise via facial recognition, fingerprint, or an iris. While the judge agreed that investigators had shown probable cause to search the property, they didn't have the right to open all devices inside by forcing unlocks with biometric features. So, there's more to the story, but that's you get the crux of it there. Interesting stuff. So, last story here, and I'm not going to be able to Doc, you're probably right. Next thing, they'll outlaw high-capacity razor blade dispensers. Yeah, I don't doubt that a bit. I'm not surprised they haven't already. Okay, there's another thing I want to talk about, and I'm not going to have time to tonight. I've got one more story I'm going to do. I can squeeze in pretty easy. But Wednesday, we're going to spend some time on some preparedness issues and some things that some of you may not necessarily have thought about. We're going to kind of fine-tune a few things there. So I hope you'll join me Wednesday for that show. Be a little different. I'm not going to spend nearly as much time on news items and stuff. It's going to be more centered around preparedness and that kind of thing. So I hope you'll hang out with me on Wednesday. And, of course, no reason whatsoever that Liberty Lounge won't happen. I'm really hoping that my satellite internet will be up and running by then. And we won't have these little problems like we had during Amy's show, and I apologize for that. I don't know why I apologize. It's not my fault, but still, whatever. All right, let's knock out my my last little story. And this is kind of a preparedness item here. This item goes, I think, stresses the importance of a training and the willingness to jump in and use it in an emergency. There is a young sergeant here from, let's see, he is out of Fort Bliss, Texas. This guy was on his way home to Mississippi, Doc, and he spotted a car crash on I-20 near Sweetwater, Texas. If you want to go see the big rattlesnake roundup every year, go to Sweetwater, Texas. They have a massive rattlesnake roundup every year down there. They'll probably be stopping that before long if they haven't already. Anyway, this guy found someone in the wreck here that was in pretty bad shape, and he didn't have the tools that he needed in his first aid kit. So, and the guy had a collapsed lung, so he took a pen, an ink pen. Now, it's kind of hard for me to grasp this story. He said he took the tube, not the tube of the pen that houses everything, but the inside tube that the ink is in. And it said that he grabbed a ballpoint pen, drained the ink, and jammed the hollow plastic tube into the guy's chest. I can't hardly believe. It says it drained the ink. I think what he means is he probably took the cartridge out of the tube and threw it away and used the solid plastic tube to get into the guy's rib cage. He most likely had to use some kind of a sharp object, a knife or a razor blade or something, and start an incision and get that in there. Because I just don't believe that he possibly could have used that soft plastic cartridge to do that. But however he did it, he had the wherewithal, he had the training, he had the willingness to jump in there and do this. And he also used his hoodie, his sweatshirt that he had on, to stop some pretty severe bleeding in this guy's head. And he quite obviously saved his life. And he very, very humble guy. He said, you're just there and you might have what they need. I needed an ink pen to the ribs, and luckily I had an ink pen. So there you go. All right. Well, NM Glock, probably ought to delete that message for someone in Bloomberg's bunch sees that and says that that's a damn fine idea. High capacity soda dispensers at the fast food places. Yeah, we need to get rid of those. Anyway. All right. Well, that's as much fun as I can stand in one night with my clothes on, so I'm going to get out of here, and we will see you guys on Wednesday with some more Liberty Lounge. No, with some more Shooting Bench, and Liberty Lounge will be on Friday. So, as always, when I start babbling and not making any sense, it's time to go. So, I'm going. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation.